Well, in Greek mythology, a labyrinth was built so that a king could contain a mythical creature. Now a new modern-day labyrinth will soon contain excited and confused Kansas Cityans on the great South Lawn at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. With us here this morning to talk about it is Steve Waterman. He's the museum's director of presentation. Steve, nice to have you.
Good morning.
Jan Shaw is also here. She's the Nelson Atkins Museum Curator of Modern Art. Jan, nice to have you, too.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Steve.
So let's start at square one here. You're building this maze, this labyrinth on the south lawn of the museum. And, Steve, this is going to be a permanent installation?
Sure is. We hope so. We built it as a 100-year project.
100 years?
Yeah.
Why? What is it exactly, Jan?
What it is an amazing construction. It's an equilateral triangle, 62 by 62 by 62, yeah. 7 feet high.
I remember that from math class. I knew that. That's right.
And it's glass, incredibly engineered glass, and it is a labyrinth. It's a true labyrinth as opposed to a maze. The difference being...
The difference
is important. With a labyrinth, it's unicursal. In other words, you enter, you follow the path, and you end up in the center, and then to return to the entrance, you just retrace your steps. If it's a maze, you all know those little games we played as kids where you're following with your pencil and junior highlights or whatever those magazines were, and you come to dead ends, and you have to backtrack and try again a different way. This is not that. This is a singular path that goes to the center and returns to the entrance.
But the idea is the same. You're going to get lost and confused. Do I have that right or not?
You really won't get lost, but the thing that is going to be interesting with this glass is that you'll be able to see through many layers of glass, and you may be a little disoriented, but I don't think you can't get lost and you can't be stuck.
And the point of all this is what, Steve?
Well, just to add on to what Jan was saying, we got 19 sheets in as of yesterday.
And sheets of glass.
Sheets of glass, yeah. And it is a little disorienting. You can't really get lost, but it has a very interesting way of slowing you down.
And the point is, again, what?
Well, I think Robert has set a stage for us, and really you bring yourself to it. And,
Robert Morris is the artist who sort of designed this thing.
Yeah, you'll bring your experience to it, and I think he expects that. I think he is encouraging that.
Well, he said, the artist, Robert Morris was born here in Kansas City, has said that the idea here is that we lose ourselves to find ourselves.
That's true, and that is where this idea of some disorientation and some sense of confinement comes in, where the pathway is clear, and yet it's narrow, and it's angular, very sharply angular. So there's going to be some tension involved, and you will have a little sense of not being lost, but being a little uncomfortable. And sometimes that's the point where, in situations of discomfort, we learn who we are. And I think that's part of it. And, of course, it does go back to the ancient myth of King Minos on the island of Crete creating this labyrinth, which really, you know, whatever that was, we don't know because it's mythic at this point. And where this half bull and half man resided because it was a monster. And King Minos exacted this terrible toll from the Athenians, whom he had conquered. Every 9 years, sometimes it's different whether you're reading Pliny or Ovid, whether it's 9 years or 7 years, but seven young men and seven young women were to be sacrificed to the Minotaur every 7 or 9 years.
Well, the walls here are 7 feet high. They're of clear glass, so families, again, will be able to view themselves struggling to find themselves here, right? That's the idea. Steve, tell me about Robert Morris.
He's a career artist. I mean, he's been out he's had a career 60 years long.
Wow.
Almost, and really incredible. And he's been in the spotlight almost that entire time. Which is not an easy thing for any of us to do in our professions.
And, Jen, he's done some of these before, but more temporary, right? Not permanent.
Mm-hmm. He has. He did a circular labyrinth, which would have been a more comfortable in sense of navigating, although very high walls and dark and gray and very kind of enclosing and claustrophobic. And that was temporary. He's done a contemporary piece in Lodz, Poland, which was of chain link fencing. And a piece that's similar to ours but of a different scale in Mexico.
And, Steve, the Nelson Atkins wanted a permanent exhibition. Why?
I suppose in the same way we want to continue to bring great sculpture to the Donald J. Hall Sculpture Park. That's why we didn't want it to be temporary.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think in its permanence it achieves something that is really, really very sublime, something that's very hard to capture on camera, something that really requires you to do it.
Huh. Well, as Jan said, this is 62 by 62 by 62 foot. There's a concrete slab on top of a concrete slab with a mud mat underneath it. Steve, describe that. How's that going to work?
Well, what that is designed to do is limit any water seeping into the piece. It just allows the water to pass underneath. The mud mat does.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would with any kind of house that you would build on a slab. And really, this is very similar to a building in that way, but more significant than your average house.
Hmm. Let's go to some phone calls here. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Susan from Independence, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just was hoping that you would also make some reference to the religious significance of the labyrinth. From my experience, it is a pilgrimage because so many people could not go to wherever their sacred space was. And so the labyrinth came into being for some to give them that opportunity, and the walking in to the center has a sense of letting go of problems or concerns or obstacles that you feel in your life. And then in the center and in the way out is an opportunity for spiritual learning and spiritual growth. And it's actually a wonderful experience because it opens you up to that layer of what we can't explain and what we don't know. And some people call God and that awareness of the spirit world.
That's interesting.
And so I just think it's so helpful for people to know there's a wonderful outdoor one at the Unity Village in Lee Summit, and some of the different churches have them. I know Trinity Episcopal in Independence does, and Chapel Hill Presbyterian in Blue Springs has one indoors that gives people that opportunity. So it's neat to have a permanent place in our Kansas City that will give that opportunity. So I'm grateful. I'm really excited about that.
Well, I'm glad you called, Susan. That's all very interesting. Jan, were you aware of all that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The labyrinth, you know, goes from this ancient mythic structure, which was about kind of terror and fear,
mm-hmm.
toward the center, to exactly that, being adopted by the Christian churches. At Chartres, the most famous, and Amiens, and other cathedrals have these amazing sometimes square, sometimes mostly circular labyrinths. And they were indeed intended to kind of replicate on a less expensive level the pilgrimage toward Jerusalem.
Hmm.
And so those were definitely part of the thinking here. But this one has not that kind of quiet meditative quality. Those, by the way, are not enclosed. They're just patterns on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't involve that sense of tension. They really are very, very peaceful. And there are no less than 10 in our very own neighborhood here in Kansas City. And there's one that's out towards Lawrence, which is in the field, in the grass. Which gets mowed and recreated every year.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Steve, give us a sense of how these giant panes of glass are going to be held up.
It's really deceptively simple. It sits into a aluminum track, so they just crane these giant pieces of glass right in, drop it in. It's traditional kind of construction methods in that way. But what's really different about the labyrinth is it is incredibly, incredibly precise. I mean, probably the largest variance that we can accept is 3/16 of an inch.
Wow. Because?
Just the way that the piece fits together, and it needs to be exacting. It's what the artist was striving for.
Wow. Okay. Back to some calls here. Brad from Prairie Village. Brad, good morning to you.
Hi there. I was just wondering if this is going to be modular to where if people start learning or gaming the system and getting bored, if the panels can be arranged to create a new maze.
Well, that's not been in our plan as of yet, but what a fun idea.
This way you can announce a new maze that you knew where you were going.
Exactly. I think it would be easier in the grass field, like Jan just suggested, but what a nice idea.
Thank you.
Brad, thank you. And this new exhibition, this new exhibit opens when?
Let's see. Is it?
It's Thursday, the 22nd of May, will be the public opening, and we hope to see everyone there.
We got a couple months to go here, yeah?
We do, but we're ready for it. The Donald J. Sculpture Park is celebrating the 25th anniversary, and we are ready for months of wonderful, exciting projects.
Well, I want to thank Steve Waterman, Jan Shaw, both from the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so
it. Yeah.